And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Monday, May 19th, 1:07 in the afternoon. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. Bridget, how was the weekend?
Brisk. It's a little brisk out
wasn't
there.
Wasn't it, though?
Yeah. We had sunshine for half a day yesterday.
Yesterday by afternoon, later in the afternoon wasn't too bad, but yeah, Saturday was a little bit... Yeah, no thanks.
I didn't rush right out to plant some things in the yard after being at the greenhouse last week. Yesterday, I did plant a few items and basically said, sink or swim. You're on your own now. Good luck. God bless. Thanks for playing.
Yeah, and we've got more rain in the forecast.
We do indeed. By the way, I went past our wheat field today. Mm-hmm. It's up. We're 10 days planted. Wheat is up, coming along great. In fact, we're going to be in the field later this week to do a video. Pack your mud boots when you come out to the field that day, because with more rain expected, yeah, it could be more than a little damp.
It is going to be a little bit muddy. In fact, there's a strong storm system that's spiraling through the Central Plains. That is giving snow to the Black Hills, where they're going to see accumulating snow. The rest of us seeing rain. In fact, some of this rain out to our west has been a little heavy over the last 24 hours. New Salem checking in with a buck 38. Let's see here. Dickinson checking in with a buck and a quarter.
Oh, hold on that Dickinson one. Let me scroll back here and have some messages.
Did you see a higher one?
I had more. Yep. I just got to find it. I know I have a message here somewhere about it.
That's all right.
And essentially they were saying, I want to say they're pushing 3 to 4 inches already in that area. I'll find the message.
Not over the last 24 hours. Over the last 24 hours
no,
or
since
last
week?
Yeah, that makes sense. This is just over the last 24 hours. They've picked up another inch and a quarter. And all those drought-stricken regions in the southwestern part of the state have picked up over an inch. Now there's more rain on radar right now. In fact, we've got steady rain that is ongoing right now from Jamestown out through Bismarck, and we're going to continue to see that as we head throughout the rest of the afternoon. Waves of rain will be moving in from the south. It will be windy, and we're looking at highs today, depending where you're at. If you're under the steady rain, you're not getting out of the 40s. Everybody else should be, seeing highs in the low to mid-50s. But winds are going to be stronger today. Wind advisory in effect for much of the central and east with highs. Again, low 50s, 40s under the rain canopy, and east winds at about 15 to 30 and gusty. Showers on and off all night tonight, and breezy with lows near 40. And Tuesday, we're looking at temperatures in the upper 40s to low 50s, a steady rain all day. It looks like heavy rain, a good bet in the morning, especially the eastern third of the state, and those showers continue into Wednesday. I wouldn't be surprised to see a few wet snowflakes mix in Tuesday night, and highs on Wednesday, upper 50s, and then sun returns at least partially for Thursday and Friday. Now, all of our computer models are spreading widespread inch plus over the entire state, not just localized areas. We're talking the entire state by the time Wednesday afternoon arrives, an inch blanketing the entire state. And again, there will be some spots that pick up two or more. So almost too much of a good thing, especially with the rain that we had last week.
Well, potentially. So Dickinson saying that they are looking at a potential 2 inches, maybe 3 by Wednesday is what's forecasted to the west.
Yeah.
Yes. Again, we always say just be aware that you can ask for too much of a good thing. And right now, We're going to get a bunch of rain, which is good. We don't know when this will shut off, so we'll bank the subsoil moisture. If we could turn the heat up a smidge, I got some corn out there that would really like it.
And I do see warmer weather coming in here as we head after Memorial Day weekend, so next week, and then especially that first week in June. That's when we'll start to heat things up quite a bit. So that's good news there. And yeah, we do need it. We need some more heating degree day units out there opposed to what we've been getting.
It'd be really nice. Yeah. Let's be honest. Folks would like to see that crop not yellow, but move forward positively.
Right.
We can do it in the 70s, sunshine. Sunshine will be key to that, though, because all these plants need the sun to keep going.
Yeah. And I do see a drier weather pattern coming in, as I said, after Memorial Day. We should start to dry things out and warm things up. So good timing on both.
Absolutely. Yeah. For those who are out and maybe you're in the field, maybe you've been looking at your WDAY rain gauge, you can give us a call with your rain total amounts, and you can reach us on the JLA Insurance phone line of 701-293-9000. Additionally, you can send us emails ag or weather@flagfamily.com. And as always, our live streams are up and kicking. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube at Weather and Ag in Focus with WDAY, or you can find us on Acres TV. And I was asked just this morning, in relation to Acres TV, when is the Ag PhD field day? That is July 31st. That is coming up in Baltic, South Dakota. Many of us will be down there. We look forward to visiting with each one of you, and never know, maybe we'll have more reasons to give away rain gauges by then.
Right, that, and stop by and see us, and we can chat about the LRC and all that
so
good
much
stuff
more.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of
and
lot
when's
of
it, July 30th?
No, 31st. It's 31st. The last Thursday. Without flipping to my calendar, I know it's the last Thursday of July
of
this
July.
Year.
Okay, mm-hmm. Perfect.
And so, yeah, we'll look forward to seeing everybody in Baltic. But meanwhile, there's a lot of weather left to go, you could say.
Yes, without a doubt. In fact, yeah, so just the first few days of this week, they're going to be wet. They're going to be cool. Not the best weather, but again, like you said, Bridget, we're banking up some moisture for when it does dry mm-hmm. out. And mark your calendars, because the LRC cycle is on about a 41-day cycle, give or take a day. So this whole wet weather pattern is going to be back in about 40 days. So we're looking at the end of June.
You know, after 40 days and 40 nights of rain, they had to build an ark, right?
Yeah, right, I know.
Just a heads up.
But when it comes back around in late June, we're likely to get the severe, and this is not good news, mm-hmm. we're likely to get the severe weather that they're having now to the south. Look
right.
at what happened in Missouri and Kentucky
yep.
with the tornadoes. Today, a big severe weather outbreak in the central and southern plains from Kansas, Missouri, south through Oklahoma and Texas. And again, as we get into late June, when this cycle's back, that all rotates north. So that's the last thing we would need is tornadic or even hail, because your corn
yeah,
is up by
our
then.
Yeah, corn's up and growing points above the ground. Yep. You know, that's a big thing, is to remember where the growing point is, whether it's on corn or on soybeans. You know, soybeans don't take hail well at all. And I hear folks say, well, geez, it feels like our weather patterns have gotten a lot more violent. I'm not sure I'm going to agree with that, and here's why. We had severe weather like this for the last decades. The difference is we predict it coming and report it widely after it's happened. Before, we only heard about the really big ones.
And, you know, there's more people, social media, there's
sure.
more people. I mean,
we're all reporters.
So we're getting more reports
yeah.
of it opposed to before. So, mm-hmm. yeah. But it has been a pretty active season so far. And it was expected to be a more active season this year than it was last year. Same as hurricane season this
sure.
year. That's going to be a little more active as well. So, just more active weather this go around this year.
And folks have to get more creative when it comes to reporting it. So I have seen some terms, and I know I send these to you when I see them every once in a while. I'm like, we're just making stuff up now, right?
Yeah.
Some of these, you know, new big
terms.
Weather terms that nobody heard of before. It's because they didn't exist.
It's all eye catching. It's all eye candy.
It's all eye catching. It's supposed to catch our attention. So we pay attention to it and click on it and whatever else. But
right.
realistically, the weather has been doing this. We've always had lots of storms throughout the season.
A good example, the dust storm that hit
oh, yeah.
in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I saw reports. We haven't had dust storms like this hit the city of Chicago since the 1930s Dust Bowl year.
Hold on.
That's
How many
false.
Of you were alive in the 1930s to witness that and now put it on Facebook?
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
That's false.
Okay.
I did some research on that, on dust storms in Chicago, and they had them in the 70s. They had them in the 80s. The one that made this a little bit stranger was it came from downbursts of thunderstorms.
Sure.
But again, it's not unheard of. But that's what I mean. You're going to get these catchy headlines that make you think, wow, this hasn't happened since the 30s. That's not true.
So John Wheeler just retired from WDAY-TV.
Mm-hmm.
One of his last forum newspaper articles said, in reporting the weather, one of the things that he remembers the most is the drought in the late 1980s up here, because he remembers the dust storms that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Folks who are watching now probably aren't as familiar with the storms that we had during that time frame. I was 15 years old. Believe me, they are indelibly etched in my head as to what happened. We have made some changes. Frequently I hear, well, we don't have the trees that we used to. Okay, that's one thing. You're right. We maybe don't have the shelter belts in the field that were planted in the 30s. But we have been replacing trees, first of all. Second of all, our tillage practices have changed. Trees die off. Trees need to be removed. Trees are not the only solution to our problem. We also now see more no-till fields than we did in the 70s. As a kid growing up, and you can all call me out on this, feel free, we used to moldboard plow, and we chisel plowed our summer fallow black. And if you think that that didn't produce dust storms, you'd be wrong. We left blank black fields on purpose. And every time the wind came up, they blew too.
Right.
Now we are using cover crops. We are planting earlier. We are seeing fields grow faster and mature because of the hybrids and the varieties that we are using. So we're doing things differently. Is it a perfect situation? No, because we're still trying to plant a crop. And oftentimes you have to do soil disturbance in order to plant a crop.
So what did our ag community do up here? I wasn't up here, obviously,
right,
in the 80s.
Right.
What, with the severe drought, I mean, was anything...
Suffer is what the word you're looking for.
Oh, without a doubt. But were there any crops that were salvageable that year?
You could plant a crop and maybe hope for the best. I remember my dad talking about 5-bushel wheat. So you got something that was sort of plant covered, but it didn't amount to anything when you were going to try to harvest it.
Right.
We were not raising soybeans to the extent that we are today. I didn't know what a soybean was until I got to college. I'd never seen one because we didn't have them in South Central North Dakota at the time. Soybeans don't leave a lot of plant material behind, even when you're no-tilling with them. They just don't have as much. So we've had some changes in the crop that we raise. There are certain soils here in the Red River Valley, and we're going to have a soil scientist on with us tomorrow to reiterate the fact that we don't cover crop those because we'd never get in those fields again. The rainfall that you have right now would hold us out of the fields for a tremendous amount of time. And again, I will probably get plenty of blowback and lots of vicious little text messages. Not my first rodeo.
Opposed to normal? Or?
Hey, people, it's business. I'm willing to take it on. Thick skin. But those are some of the realities we have to face. So.
Yeah.
More realities we're going to face is when our guest Chris Sherman joins us next. He is our cybersecurity superhero. I don't see him wearing his cape today.
He forgot it in the car.
But we will talk with him right after our word from Livestock Markets with American Ag Network. Thanks for joining us here on WDAY. As I told Dean, I had a chance to go and look at our wheat field today for Here We Grow, coming along very nicely. And want to say a big thank you to our sponsors there with Thor Buildings. Really appreciate the work that they do providing post-frame construction to meet your needs, both in livestock, machinery, maybe at the lake and elsewhere. So when you are thinking about a new building, look at the team at Thor Buildings. And then also Mark Wagner with North Dakota State Services. It's his job to take that very complicated process and make it simple for you and your family. He's going to educate you about probate, guardianship, and more. You can reach him at ndestateservices.com. I don't know that I have to give the ad for Tech Support Farm today because Chris is here, so he can give his own ad, you might say, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're always ready to do that.
So, yes, Chris Sherman, Tech Support Farm, is here because, as I've always said, if your tech is not running smoothly on the farm, Chris is the guy to help fix that. So where would you like to start today, sir?
You know, I think today we're going to be talking about cyber insurance and just general liability insurance and how, you know, cyber attacks are covered and protected that way.
Cyber insurance is real?
Cyber insurance is real, and ironically, cyber insurance is changing just as fast as anything else in life. It used to be a thing where you would just go and talk to your agent about it, and they would throw it on as a rider to your general liability. Or then they would also have like their own specialized little cyber insurance policy. It was like 10 questions, and you were done and taken care of.
And Chris, is there a brief explanation or a simple explanation of what's the difference between general liability and cyber insurance? Because I know a lot of farmers would think, well, I've got general liability or farm insurance. You know, that's all taken care of.
General liability is when I'm there and fall down, which is not really uncommon.
True. But how does that – is there any general liability that ties in with cyber insurance?
So general liability used to – well, and I got to be careful the way I say this because everybody's a little bit different, but there used to be a little clause inside of general liability policies that would cover cybersecurity breaches.
Okay.
The problem is that they became so prevalent and so commonplace that they actually started removing that clause and they started narrowing the language so that it limited the amount of coverage that was given to that breach. And you know, I mean, when you think about general liability as a policy that protects you when you're out, you know, doing your work, and it's protecting your business operations. So let's say, you know, you're a custom harvester or something like that, and you damage your customer's property or their crop or something like that. That's what it's intended to cover. So at the same time, if you were breached and you had a security breach and let's say that customer data got leaked or something like that, you would anticipate that your general liability might cover those damages because you've damaged, you know,
sure,
customer property. The problem is that it became such an issue that we now see cyber liability policies just being a completely different policy that business owners have to get. So it's very akin to, you know, you have your general liability, you have your E&O for errors and omissions, and then you have your, you know, automobile and equipment insurance. You might have crop insurance. You have all these different categories of policies. So now we have cyber policies that are specifically meant for cyber breaches. The problem is that because it is its own, you know, policy, it has its own rules that they follow. So they make sure that you have, you know, all these different, you know, boxes checked. So you have to have EDR and MDR. You have to have, you know.
What's an EDR or an MDR?
EDR is endpoint detection and response. It's essentially a software that sits on your computer and it monitors the activity. It's kind of like the security camera for your network. MDR is what is called managed detection and response, or automated SOC, Security Operations Center. It is also known as XDR, and there it's just a lot of it is the same thing. It's just termed differently. But all of these different, you know, things, MFA and 2FA or multi-factor authentication, you have to have that in place. You have to have, you know, your passwords have to be of a certain, you know, length and complexity. You have to have, you know, backups and all of these different, you know, categories of boxes have to be checked in order for you to get the policy. The problem is that, you know, unlike other policies where they go and they audit it every year, we don't see that happening just yet in cyber. And so, you know, that's where people get into problems, because they just answer yes on all the questions and then nobody follows up and actually make sure that they actually have it.
You know, I usually stand up during this whole show, but I feel like I should sit down whenever Chris is here for a little week.
He's a wealth of information,
well,
that's for sure.
Not just that, but I realize all the things I do that are wrong. That's why I have Chris to fix them. So these things matter tremendously. And again, that misconception that I have insurance, it must cover it. But I think the biggest misconception we have in farms is, well, I don't have anything. I'm a small farm. I don't matter. But they're probably the biggest targets because
Absolutely.
They're the least protected.
Yes. Yes. And that boils back to, you know, I think we've brought the example up numerous times that, you know, let's say you get an email and it went to your bookkeeper. It's got an invoice, you know, it's, you know, whatever. It's something that you guys have seen a million times.
Oh, yes.
And they cut a $20,000 check and out the door it goes, and you find out that it was a fraudulent invoice.
Yes.
You know, that would be something that you would submit back to your cyber insurance company, and they would hopefully, you know, compensate you for. But if they find out that you're using, you know, like we've talked about, you know, let's say you're using an AOL, or a Hotmail account or a Gmail, then all of a sudden, you know, your email is not sufficiently protected. It's not filtered. And so, you know, it's kind of like leaving your doors unlocked. It's very much like your vehicle left unattended and running, and your insurance isn't going to cover it because you left the keys in there and it was running and they stole it.
Well, or leaving that hole in the fence and being shocked when your cows get
100%.
Out. We're going to talk about that hole in the fence and how Chris can help us avoid those types of problems, literally and figuratively. And we will do that after the news. We'll be back. Thanks for joining us here on Weather and Ag in Focus. Get those notepads and pens ready. As always, we've got great information with our guest, Chris Sherman with Tech Support Farm. Okay, Chris, we were talking about some of the reality of why this has become so important, some examples. You want to review those for us and give us the you know, who the examples are, but what they have done to set precedent.
Okay, so the examples that we're talking about is cybersecurity breaches that specifically were denied by their cyber insurance company. And so ultimately, the number one that we had is a company called International Control Systems. They're based out of Decatur, Illinois. Essentially, they had a ransomware attack, and the insurer who actually, the insurance agent that they filed with said that they misrepresented their security systems on their application and that they were not using MFA during the entire process. They found that the only instance of MFA was on their firewall. So when we say that we are using MFA entirely, that means that we have to be using it for our passwords on our emails. It has to be on our bank accounts. Anything that is has MFA or 2FA.
And the MFA, this is the multi-factor authentication.
Correct. Yes.
That word,
yes.
Bridget,
the,
can't say.
That really annoying one that you have, yes, to have the app and or it texts you, and yes.
Or like you're getting into your bank and you need a password, you need, yes, to identify a photo and answer a security question.
So the identifying a photo and moving little shapes around, that's actually CAPTCHA. And that's a completely different security feature. That's more on the website side. But for us, what we're looking at is when you have to have a secondary point of access. So if you go into your Amazon account and it asks you, to pull up the MFA, number, the little 6-digit number or whatever, that is really important. You got to think about that as like the deadbolt on your door.
Okay.
That is really the it keeps everybody out. That is the strongest point of defense.
And you've got something, Chris, called Fence Check.
Yes.
And explain to us exactly what that is.
So when firms are asking themselves what kind of liability they have, the number one problem that everybody deals with is, first off, we're going to go and, call somebody at an office, and then that guy's going to try to sell you a whole line of stuff, and nobody wants a sales pitch.
Right.
So what we did was we developed a tool called Fence Check, and it is a bit of a lengthy, process, but you just go in, you answer about, 20, 30 questions about your operation, what kind of industry you're in, how large you are, that kind of thing, what kind of technology you're using. It walks through all these different questions, and then within 24 hours, we end up emailing you a full report on your liability, what steps you can take as a producer to protect yourself, and then what kinds of cybersecurity upgrades you need, and the steps that you need to take to, become insurable.
Okay. There, like you said, 25-ish questions.
I believe so.
Okay. I just heard several eyes glaze over. But I don't think we can reiterate the importance of answering those questions to make it eye-opening to you, because if we keep burying our heads in the sand, we're going to keep having ransomware attacks, malware being hacked.
Correct. And when I say 25 questions, it's the breadth of the whole thing is 25 questions. Mm-hmm. You may not have to answer 25.
Oh, that's true.
Right?
There's some
so
that don't
apply.
So if
you, let's say, you said that you are not a dairy operation, well, then all the dairy questions go away.
Man.
For the guys that have to go through all of the questions like myself, it becomes a lengthier process. But most guys, they find out that it's not, it's not that bad of a deal. It's not painful. The other thing is that the only person who will follow up with you is you. If you choose to, have a conversation with us and want us to, kind of elaborate on some things and talk about what pricing and that sort of thing looks like, we are totally happy to do that. But this is not a sales tool for us at all. This is to help you understand your liability.
Going to your website, techsupport.farm, and doing the assessment could possibly help you in your discussion with your insurance agent.
Oh, 100%. Yes. It really would help you understand, your actual position and what your risks are, and going into that, conversation with your agent and knowing what those kinds of things are. The other thing is that we wrote it in such a way that the report is very straightforward. It's not going to use a lot of technical jargon or anything like that. It's very, straightforward. It's going to walk you through the different, features that you need to add. And then it's going to explain what those features are and why they're important.
I feel like I should send this entire discussion to my insurance agent. She happens to be my sister. But nonetheless, I've always said if one of us goes down, we're all going down. So I feel like, this is probably a question I need to have with them as an agency is, I don't think I have anything.
No.
And I'm a small business myself.
Yeah. The other thing that people don't realize is that, in the United States, I want to say it was like 75% of businesses that suffer a cybersecurity breach are out of business within the next year.
Yep. And I've heard the average cost to recover your data through a ransomware attack, et cetera, is $80,000.
Yes, and that's a minimum.
Minimum. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's a lot of things we need to look at here. Like you mentioned in your notes to us, what's not covered.
Yep.
Because we always ask what's covered, but we forget to ask the what's not covered part.
We need to ask what's not covered, and then we also need to really understand, you know, and this is the problem that I personally have with cyber insurance, is that the questions that they ask you, most people are not going to know the answers to them, right? If somebody asks you, you know, do you have, EDR and what is your firewall policy, you know, and you know, what can, most people have no idea.
Right.
You're know. Right. I do not have an idea.
Exactly. And so, you know, or, you know, do you have an MSSP or an MSP, you know, that you're working with or anything like that? Most people have no idea what those answers
you
are.
You just said things I thought I should go to the pharmacy for.
Correct.
Okay. Got it.
The other, okay. And so, you know, the nice part about what we do is we will set you up in such a way that you are automatically eligible for that policy because we enforce those standards and we take care of them. So all of our clients are automatically eligible for $1 million flat rate cyber liability policy.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, again, I know you tell us this every single time. I could do better. I have to do better with MFA. I have to do better with passwords, with password managers. But for those who have employees.
So for those who have employees, you know, we set up the parameters for you. And so, you know, whether that's Wi-Fi, we have a, you know, specifically employee Wi-Fi and then the business Wi-Fi, whether it's if you, you know, have a bring your own device, whether it's a tablet or a phone, we have software that can manage just your farm's applications. And so if that individual goes missing or if that, you know, device goes missing or is stolen, we can automatically wipe that stuff off of there. We can locate the device for you or for that employee. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different variables and, you know, I think it's something that a lot of people try their best to set up on their own. And unfortunately, you know, we fall short.
Many of us are not good at this. We take that router out of the box. We set it up.
Correct. We leave the factory password and everything defaulted. And
until you say, hey, do you have cyber insurance? Or maybe you should do this fence check assessment on your website, I just think, no, it can't be that big a deal.
Yes.
And is that fence check assessment, is that free online?
100% free.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, why not do it?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. You know? One night when you have nothing better to do and you're kind of stressing about it, absolutely. Fill in those questions. It does take us about 24 hours to process it. We do kind of look at some things individually based on your location and that sort of thing that are variables to you. And then we make our recommendations that way.
Okay.
No one wants to hear that they have to spend money on one more thing, whether it's insurance, whether it's using cybersecurity. But I think the bigger loss here is just not knowing.
Absolutely.
And we cannot hide our heads in the sand about this anymore because we are the attack. Just this morning, I was talking about the fact that Food and Ag ISAC, which you mention ISAC to me all the time, so now I'm paying way more attention. They are real. But they have seen a 50% year-on-year increase on cyber attacks just in the first 3 months of 2025.
Correct.
High profiles such as South Africa's largest chicken producer that cost that company more than $1 million, just to put that aside. Also the largest dairy producer processing plant in southern Siberia. You know why they picked those places? Because they're remote. You know what else is remote? A farm in the middle of North Dakota.
Yes. The other thing that is really interesting is the idea that, you know, when we're talking about being remote, is cyber and IT people. I mean, you know, it's very hard to find an IT person out in Candu, North Dakota.
And, that's true.
Right.
and the other problem is that, you know, when we are looking at services, especially in ag, we're looking for the ability to get there and take care of those problems and how timely the response is. And when your agent, or not your agent, but your dealer is located in like Fargo and you've got, you know, stuff up in Cavalier, you know that it's going to be a little bit of a wait for that service call.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yep. So, you know, and for us, what we do is we actually install software that we can take care of a lot of this remotely for you. So you can just call us up anytime, anywhere, and 9 times out of 10, we can just jump on and take care of those problems remotely for you. So our service response time is pretty good, actually.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And Bridget just mentioned, you know, those were the largest ones in Siberia, largest. How often do you hear, you know what, my farm, it's not that big. I don't really need the cybersecurity. What is there to hack? I mean, what can they possibly get from me? How often do you hear that?
I hear it all the time.
Do you? But, and what's your answer to it?
Well, here's the scary part. Just as much as I hear that, I hear that we lost 50,000 this last weekend. Or, you know, somebody paid a $28,000 invoice. Or we lost $150,000.
But it doesn't even have to be that big.
No.
I mean, it can be $2,000. I mean, I realize that's one parts run to your local dealer, but that's a parts run to your local dealer you just lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And then not only that, but you got to think about the recovery from it, because now you got to figure out, how did they get it? How did they get in? What card did they use? You know, do we need to call the bank and shut down this card? And then you got to remember, you have all these automatic payments that are being taken off, whether it's ACHs or whether it's, you know, just put on the card monthly. And now you got to deal with all those vendors and reset up all those automatic payments. Mm-hmm. And the other problem, you know, again, and I'm going to, you know, stress this every, you know, time we're together, but everybody needs to get off of Gmail and Yahoo and Hotmail and AOL and all of these different private email addresses, because nobody realizes that the emails that you're sending to your FSA office or to your
bank,
USDA,
your insurance, your bank, office,
all of those emails can be intercepted and they are not encrypted. And you will send it and they will receive it, and you have no idea that somebody in a third party saw all the contents.
So
I got me worried.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
And really, it just boils down to, have a corporate email that, you know, has your own domain, and that we can monitor it and we can, you know, filter it, and then we can encrypt all the emails.
Also, one of the things that I always talk about with you is speak farm. Right, because you understand what the language that farmers use. You understand why it's important to go to the FSA office.
Absolutely.
And why grain bins have automatic fans with apps to them, et cetera. Yeah. So for folks who don't know you, Chris, what's your background in ag?
So my background in ag, I guess I started on a dairy farm when I was like 11 years old, and we would ride our bikes out there at 3 o'clock in the morning and yeah, I got pushed around by a bunch of dairy cows and in the parlor. And
I didn't have to ride my bike, but I did the same thing.
Yeah, it was quite the, yeah. And then, out, you know, the summers of rock picking. I don't think any of us really had a choice in any of this. It was just, you know, yeah. And then, you know, I suppose about 2013, 2014, I took over a construction company, and we did grain sites and irrigation, you know, projects, you know, the full-size irrigators in the field and the pipelines. Then we did, you know, multi-million dollar grain sites. So understanding all the, you know, mechanics behind it and all of that, that's something, and especially the automation and the different programs and platforms that are used to manage all of this. And the telemetry behind it. I feel very at home then in that environment.
Okay. For those who haven't caught on yet, you're going to need to go check out the Fence Check Assessment Tool.
Yes.
On the website, which is
techsupport.farm. It is the second, you can't miss the icon. It's right there in the middle. Click on it and take some time to answer a couple questions, and we'll get back with you.
I think that also, people have heard us talk with you before, but now there's this tool that you can use that can really drive it home, because you're the person answering the questions.
Yes. And there's a value added, you know, piece to this entire thing, is that once you get that report, it's going to walk you through the steps that you can take starting right now to do a better job of protecting yourself. It will have links to, you know, how-to videos and that kind of thing as well, and just kind of some tutorials. You don't necessarily have to go and call us. You know, if you have somebody, or if you have, you know, somebody in the family that knows their cybersecurity software and can set you up, by all means, utilize the resources around you. This is meant to be a, you know, a value-added proposition.
Learning moments.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we'll have another check of rainy forecasts. Some areas are going to pick up well over 2 inches of rain. We'll detail how much rain we're expecting in the FM area and throughout the state, and a couple ag topics coming up right after the break. Well, welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Monday afternoon, May 19th to 1:54 in the afternoon. We have some showers on radar right now. We had one light band move through the area. More showers just to the south of the FM area down towards Abercrombie, stretching over towards Fergus, all moving northward. A more solid band into areas of South Dakota, Sisseton, and points southward. Steadier band of rain, all moving northward. Steady rain out to the west as well. Already areas of the southwestern part of the state have picked up about 1 to 2 inches of rain, and those areas have about another inch to two on the way. I think much of the state is going to be blanketed with at least an inch of rain, and some spots a little bit more than that. And that goes through tonight. And tomorrow night, might even mix in a few snowflakes tomorrow night. And then Wednesday, we'll see the rain taper off. And again, about 1 to 2 inches across the most of eastern third of the state out west. Some of those areas could pick up 2 to 3 inches of rain. And then things will dry out for Thursday, Friday, and at least the start of Memorial Day weekend. But then more scattered showers come in on the back end of Memorial Day weekend. And this weather is brought to you by Progressive Ag Risk Management Specialists. So some more rain, Bridget. Then we'll start to dry things out a little bit as we head towards Memorial Day weekend. But like we were talking earlier, no real heat in sight. I mean, when you're talking about mixing wet snowflakes in with the rain at night.
It's not awesome.
Nothing accumulating, nothing to worry about there. But still, just a thought. Like you said, we need more heating degree days. We need these temperatures back up in the 70s and 80s. And I do see that later next week and then to start off the month of June.
Speaking of some of the extremes that are out there, this is a message from a guy in Nebraska. He's an equipment salesman and also has corn. He says they just need rain desperately. He would be central Nebraska.
Out around Grand Island, yep. Hastings, okay.
Says he's got 6 inches total moisture since Christmas.
Oof.
Got about an inch and a half last night, potentially more tonight. Planting has mostly wrapped up down there. Temperatures, though, have been in the 80s to the 90s for several weeks.
It's been
a couple
hot
weeks,
down there.
And that's really high for the time of the year. So I'm going to guess that their subsoil moisture is probably non-existent.
Yeah, and they're going to be under a wetter weather pattern here over the next couple of weeks. So that's good news for them. Now, the bad news is they're also going to be under the threat of severe weather. In fact, tornado watches issued for much of eastern Nebraska all the way south through Texas, covering a large territory. So, and again, keep in mind, with the LRC, we're on about a 41-day cycle, and that same weather pattern, it will be back here in 41 days. So we're looking at the end of June into early July, where we're more than likely going to have severe weather up in our area as this rotates back through next round.
Yep, and we're going to have to pay attention to that, right? It totally depends on all the conditions that go with it.
Sure.
Because tornadoes just don't pop up out of nowhere.
No, they don't. No.
And 40 days from now is, through June, which would be about expected. It's not that unusual end of June that we have those types of things happening. Severe weather also may just mean that we've got some high winds or some localized thunderstorms. Nobody said that we're going to have a 5-county tornado outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
But if we do have a tornado outbreak, as my friend Katie would say on Twitter, make sure you put in your teeth, put on your bra, you might be on the camera. Nobody wants to be caught without those things. But it's true, right? You see the National Weather Service. In fact, the Weather Service is on right here in the studio. And all the folks that their houses got wiped out, well, unfortunately, they were probably in bed and they're missing those things.
Right. Exactly.
Get those things early.
That's a good point. Good point. So I want to thank everybody for joining us on Weather and Ag in Focus. For Bridget, myself, have a great Monday afternoon. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show is coming up next.